you for the opportunity to speak tonight. And I want to thank Brian for his prayer. He mentioned in his prayer about being strong so that we might be able to thwart Satan. And tonight, that's exactly who I want to talk to you about. Our adversary, our enemy, Satan. To many people, the notion of a creature or a being that roams about tempting people is a foolish notion. Just as far-fetched as the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot or any other myth. Some people don't know anything about Satan and don't care to know either. Oftentimes, Satan is the subject of a joke. Anytime he's drawn in a picture in any kind of literature, he usually has a tail and he's holding a pitchfork. But if Satan is truly our adversary, as the scriptures have laid out, isn't it prudent then, isn't it wise for us as Christians to know our enemy, to know what he's about? When one nation goes to war with another nation, what do? Do they go to war unprepared? No, they learn as much as they can about that enemy so that they may be prepared for battle. And so as Christians, if Satan is truly our adversary, our only enemy, then we need to know as much as we can about him, as much as revealed to us, so that we may be prepared for battle. So our objective tonight is to find out what the Bible says about Satan. Who is he? What is he about? What is he doing? And I hope that by the end of the lesson, it will increase our awareness of Satan and what he's trying to do to us. And finally, we'll look at what is the fate of Satan and his followers. I think it's important to note that the devil has been around for a long time. He's first introduced to us in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, when he tempted Adam and Eve. So he's been around a long time, and he's gotten a lot of names attributed to him. In Revelation, the 9th chapter, verse 11, we're told that he is the angel of the bottomless pit. There are other passages that tell us that he was an angel, and this is just one of them. So he's a fallen angel, and he's described here in Revelation as the angel of the bottomless pit. Also in this verse, he is called Apollyon, or Abaddon, which means the destroyer. Another name attributed to the devil is Beelzebub in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 24. The Pharisees were speaking about Jesus here, and they said, "Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.'" So we're given a little more insight about Satan here. He's called Beelzebub, and he's the ruler of the demons. During Jesus' time, demons were under his control. And the Pharisees were accusing Jesus of casting out demons in his name. He's also called Belial, or worthlessness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 15, "And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever?" In Matthew, the 4th chapter, when Jesus came, when the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, in verse 1, he's called the devil. "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So again, we're getting a little more information about Satan. He's called the devil, and he's also called the tempter. And again, we talked about in the beginning with Adam and Eve, he was called the serpent in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field. And finally, in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 31, Jesus called him the name most commonly referred to, Satan. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. These are some of the various names that we find in the Bible that are attributed to Satan. There are some others, too, that aren't on this list. He's called the great dragon in Revelation. I think he's called a deceiver in another passage, and there are a few other names, like ruler of the world, that we will see, and prince of the power of the air. So again, he's got a lot of names. How about his character? When you think of someone's character, if you say that person has good character, what are you saying? You know this person. You know by their actions, by their attitude, maybe some of the things that they say, and you would say, well, that person there, you know, he's good character. Well, what about Satan? What's his character like? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. We're told something about the devil, and that is that he has sinned from the beginning. Verse 7 and 8, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So the devil is someone who has, from the very beginning, sinned. We're also told that he tempts people to sin. And we looked at the passage of Jesus in the wilderness where he went out to tempt them. He tempted Adam and Eve. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 tells us another characteristic of the devil. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. So the devil is someone who tempts people to sin. And the way that he does that is in through deception. He practices deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Through trickery and deception, he deceives people. Verses 3 and 14, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And in verse 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. So he's a deceiver. Are we getting an idea of the kind of character of Satan? We're told that he's a murderer and a liar in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And finally, the well-known passage from 1 Peter. We're told that the devil is the adversary of man. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Well, I think the Apostle Peter here clearly warns us that the devil is our adversary, and what is he up to? He's seeking someone to devour. Well, what about his dominion? Does he have a dominion? He claims to be the ruler of this world. In John chapter 12, verse 31. I lost it. My fault. John chapter 12, verse 31. On 30 and 31, Jesus answered and said, This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. Also, Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. It talks about the kingdom of Satan. Chapter 12, verse 26. If Satan cast out Satan, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how then will his kingdom stand? We're told in Ephesians that he's the prince of the power of the air. The second chapter in verse 2. 1 and 2. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among those also we have all once conducted ourselves in lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And finally, he's described as the God of this age in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Starting verse 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Well, if this world is his dominion, his kingdom, who are his subjects? Who are his servants? What does the Bible speak on this? The whole world and wickedness are his servants. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We're also told that his subjects are in bondage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, and 2 Peter 2, 19. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. In 2 Peter 2, verse 19. while they promised them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. Isn't it interesting that some people don't want to serve God because they don't want to be bound by rules? They want to be free. They want to be happy. In order to serve God, they got to do all those things, all the rules, and they're not interested in that. And isn't that ironic, though? Because clearly the scriptures tell us that we are in service here in this life. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan. The same people who don't want to obey God are in spiritual bondage under Satan's rule. How ironic is that? Well, how does he hold his subjects? By the pleasures of sin, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. The things of this world that make people happy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. He blinds them to the truth, like we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He blinds them so they cannot see the truth. And we're also told in Luke chapter 8, verse 12, that he snatches the word from their hearts. This is the kind of adversary that we're dealing with. Listen to what is said here in Luke. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. I think it's fair to say that the devil is very busy and he's relentless in what he does. What about his power? Does the scripture say he has any power? And how much does he have? Is it limited? Well, we all know the story of Job, how he received permission to afflict his family, just not to lay a finger on him. We recently also had a gospel meeting with Gary Henry, and in one of his lessons he talked about how at some point in each of our lives he will bring hardship into our life. For what purpose? To try to get us to leave the faith, to turn aside. As we already pointed out, he claims authority over this world. When he went to tempt Jesus, he told Jesus, the Son of God, "All this is mine. I give it to whoever I wish." How bold was he that day? And as we talked about, sinners are under his dominion, under his control, under bondage to him. Acts 26 and verse 18. He blinds. He has the ability to blind the minds of the unbelievers. He contends with the saints. And this is getting more on the lines of the spiritual battle that we are in. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." That's our battle. It's a spiritual battle. We fight against Satan and all his forces. We're also told that he inspires all lying wonders. All the garbage that spews out of people's mouths about God, who he is and what he's done, he is the inspiration behind all of it. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 9. "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved." So I guess we have to ask the question again. Is Satan powerful? Is he this powerful creature? Well, I think the answer is yes. But his power is limited. I think this is the most important point that I wanted to bring out, so I hope you're listening carefully. Satan cannot deliver anything that he promises. On Judgment Day, he won't be able to say, "Thanks for sticking by me. Here's your reward." He has nothing to offer. As I just mentioned, should we respect the fact of how powerful he is in this world? Yes. All we have to do is look. Look around us. Look at society today. Look at the moral decay that is around us. Look at the fact that he will deceive more people than he won't. How do we know this? We're told in the scriptures that narrow is the gate that leads to heaven, and few there are that find it. The sad reality is more people will believe Satan's garbage than God's truth. There is deliverance through Jesus. As Mr. Henry pointed out in the gospel meeting, the battle is already won. God has already defeated Satan. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil. Did you hear what that said? Who had the power of death. Whatever power you had, Satan, it's gone. You don't have it anymore. Christ came, died on the cross, rose again, and conquered death. so that all who come after him in obedience can have that victory over death as well. Is Satan powerful? Yes. But his power lies in his ability to trick you, to deceive you, to get you to turn from your faith. It's limited. And as we just read, he and all who follow him will be crushed. How about his fate? As we pointed out, he's been around a long time. Well, what will happen to him on Judgment Day? Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And Revelation 20, verse 10 tells us that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire and suffer torment forever. And all who follow him. I'd like you to open your songbooks to the song of invitation that's been chosen, number 315.